If you think that female celebrity journalists are a fairly recent phenomenon, then you haven't heard about Kate Field, and actually, you're not alone. Although she made a name for herself in the male-dominated newspaper business of the 19th century, hobnobbing with the likes of Charles Dickens, George Eliot, and numerous U.S. presidents, was also a publicity agent, ran her own newspaper, and even helped found the first women's press club in the United States, history seems to have largely forgotten her. With me now is University of New Mexico Professor Gary Scharnhorst, who is the author of Kate Field, The Many Lives of a 19th Century American Journalist. It's published by Syracuse University Press. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Your subtitle is, as I said, The Many Lives of a 19th Century American Journalist. Did I leave out any of her accomplishments in my introduction?
Well, she was also an actress, a playwright, a poet, a lecturer, a travel writer. So she touched many bases and was competent or excelled at all of them.
When was she prominent?
Her prime was the late 1870s through the mid-1890s, during which time she was an anti-Mormon lecturer. She spent a year in Utah and campaigned against Mormon polygamy and Utah statehood. In the 1880s.
What, because of a feminist impulse or simply because she was horrified by the religion?
Well, I think both. I think she was a kind of feminist, not an orthodox or conventional one. But she earned a livelihood after that year, delivering a series of anti-Mormon lectures.
Well, this was a time when a number of women became famous. For a while anyway, Victoria Woodhull on one hand, Susan B. Anthony on another, and she, in fact, Susan B. Anthony was not an admirer of Kate Field, was she?
Well, Kate Field did not admire Victoria Woodhull. She canceled a lecture where Woodhull had just spoken because she said they needed to fumigate the building.
So she was a rather outspoken person.
Yeah, and she didn't get along much with Susan B. Anthony because Anthony wanted her to embrace the prohibition cause, and Field refused.
So she was anti-Mormon, she was anti-prohibition, but she was very strongly for working class rights, the sort of thing that Susan B. Anthony might appreciate.
Right. Susan B. Anthony solicited her support, though she never really received it. Field identified with the working class. She campaigned not only for working class rights, but for civil rights for all Americans, especially African Americans at the time she lived, which is, quite frankly, rather surprising for the time. She was instrumental in the preservation of the John Brown Farm in the Adirondacks, as well as responsible for the removal of the Brown Arsenal from the Chicago World's Fair in 1893 back to Harper's Ferry.
She came out of an acting family. How did she wind up in journalism?
Well, her father and mother were actors, but that was a very unreliable livelihood in the 1840s and 50s. So Kate Field's father, Joseph Field, actually founded the St. Louis Reveille, a newspaper in St. Louis. Orion Clemens, Mark Twain's brother, was for a time the Hannibal correspondent for the St. Louis Reveille. And Kate Field began to contribute to newspapers, both her father's and others, when she was still a teenager.
But she really broke into journalism by writing a series of letters, didn't she?
Right. She was a play reviewer for the New York Tribune. She corresponded with a series of Boston newspapers from Italy during the Italian Civil War in the late 1850s. And her first big break was covering the final U.S. speaking tour of Charles Dickens for the New York Tribune.
And she wrote for all these different publications because, as she said, she would rather freelance because she wouldn't write what she didn't believe. And if she worked for any specific newspaper, they would have tried to control her a bit more?
Right. The downside of that decision is that her name appears in no history of an American newspaper. She wrote several hundred columns for the New York Tribune, for example, and perhaps was most closely affiliated with that newspaper. But her name nowhere appears in the histories of the newspaper.
Although you can find her in their archives, I'm sure. Was she a good writer?
I think she was a very good writer. She sometimes submitted to sentiment and other conventions associated with the Saab sisters, as they were called. But
The standards were different in those days.
That's right.
Objective journalism, whatever that means, wasn't even a goal in the 19th century.
No.
She also sometimes used a pen name. Sometimes she signed her name, but using a pen name will also tend to obscure your legacy.
Well, she began writing those letters from Italy for the Boston newspapers using a pair of pen names, Phi, F-I-E, the first three letters of Field, and Semper Avante, always advance. She pretended to be male. She wrote in a male voice. Later, she used the pen name Freelance so that her contributions to the New York Herald would not be confused with her contributions to the Tribune. Whenever she used a pseudonym, she normally wrote in a male voice in order to avoid the stereotype.
Was she accepted by her male peers in the newspaper industry?
No. Once more, that is one of the grand ironies. Women were not welcome in the city room of any newspaper in the country, I think.
And obviously not in the press clubs.
She was banned from the New York Press Club when Dickens visited, and that prompted her to co-found that first women's club in the U.S., which was a group of professional women who wanted to campaign for women's professional rights.
My guest is Gary Scharnhorst, who's written a book called Kate Field, The Many Lives of a 19th Century American Journalist, published by Syracuse University Press. She was as much reported in the news as she did the reporting herself. What was it about her that made the public so interested in her?
Well, I think her novelty, because she did so many things well. She became a celebrity. She both reported the news and became the object of reports.
And they were fictional characters that were modeled upon her as well.
Yeah, perhaps best known the character of Henrietta Stackpole in Henry James's novel, The Portrait of a Lady. She and James knew each other in Newport, and there are remarkable parallels between James's description of Henrietta and Kate Field.
What did her family think of her career choices?
Well, her parents both died when she was relatively young. Her father, in fact, died while she was still in school. She had an uncle, however, a very rich uncle, who disapproved of her public persona, offered her his wealth in his will if she would withdraw from the public arena, and she refused. He was a Confederate sympathizer. In particular, he objected to her campaigning on behalf of African Americans. They were never permanently estranged, but he did write her out of the will.
So she was disinherited.
Right.
She went into acting at a certain point because journalism wasn't paying enough?
Journalism was not paying enough. Her correspondence with the newspapers, her lecturing did not pay enough, and she thought she could make it as an actor because, in part, her parents had been actors. But it was, as I write in the book, the most disastrous decision she ever made.
Why? She wasn't very good?
Well, it depends on who you listen to. According to the New York drama critics, she was not very good. But then she went to England and acted once more under a pseudonym, and received very good reviews.
She also was involved in the invention of the telephone.
She worked as a publicist while in England for Alexander Graham Bell. She arranged demonstrations for many of the aristocracy and others. She actually sang Irish folk songs over the telephone for Queen Victoria as a demonstration of the invention. She was, by the way, an Irish nationalist, a believer in home rule for Ireland, which is why I think she sang Irish folk songs to Queen Elizabeth. Bell paid her $40,000 in Bell stock for her work, and so at least for a brief time she was even wealthy.
She also did publicity work for the wine industry, for Anheuser-Busch, the beer company.
That's right, which is why Anthony and some of the other prohibitionists were so unfavorably inclined to her. She actually became a spokesperson for the California wine industry for a year and gave it up when it became simply too controversial. But she campaigned for light wines as a buffer against intemperance.
And when she was older, she started her own weekly newspaper called Kate Fields Washington. So if her name was in the title of the newspaper, obviously people would must have recognized it. Was that a successful newspaper?
Well, once more, it depends on who you ask. It certainly exercised a good deal of influence. It was read by the political class in Washington. Kate Fields' editorials had influence. She campaigned for the removal of an import tax on art. She campaigned on behalf of Yosemite National Park, the creation of the park. But ultimately, the paper failed after the Panic of 1893, failed for financial reasons.
Did she ever marry?
She did not marry. In fact, she wrote her mother once that the work she did was not compatible with emotional attachments. She did have opportunities, however. One interviewer quoted her as saying that the man does not live who has held my hand for more than 2 seconds, to which a rival columnist commented, who would have thought it could be that lethal?
Well, there can be all sorts of explanations. Some, it could be that she just wasn't, you know, she was so career-driven that she didn't care. In other cases, she might very well have had other sexual interests.
I don't think it was because she was a lesbian. There are letters between her and a fellow who proposed marriage to her. There's nothing extant, moreover, that remotely resembles a love letter.
Has she been written about before?
The last biography of her appeared in 1899, written by her literary executor. It's a valuable biography because it does record diary entries. The diaries have since disappeared. But it was largely written from the sources, the papers that Field left. There was not much original research there.
Are you surprised that she's been so forgotten?
Well, I am. I think there are a number of reasons for that. First, I think her versatility. No one quite has known how to categorize her, and so theater historians or newspaper historians have ignored her, partly, I think, because of her unorthodox feminism. She was not claimed by the feminist movement, the women's movement, during her life, and I don't think she's been resurrected from the footnote by the modern feminist movement. But perhaps above all, because of the sources for her life have not been available, it requires a good deal of basic research simply to gather all of the sources necessary.
What about the fact that she seemed to antagonize or not have good relations with so many important people? We mentioned Susan B. Anthony. Mark Twain didn't get along with her.
Well, Mark Twain didn't get along with many of his rivals, especially those who wore crinoline. She was a lecturer with equal billing with Mark Twain in the 1870s. And so his antagonism toward her, I think, can be explained in large part because she was a competitor, a rival.
even though she was talking about statehood for Utah and why she was opposed to it. I don't think that concerned Mark Twain all that much.
Well, Twain complained that she was too much the self-promoter. Moreover, when Catefield acted in a Mark Twain play, Catefield claimed that Mark Twain had approved her performance when, in point of fact, he hadn't even seen it, which led, as you might guess, to a significant episode.
On the other hand, Mark Twain play opened this season and did not receive the most glowing reviews. Maybe he didn't write the best parts possible.
Well, he wasn't known for his plays. That's for certain.
Gary Scharnhorst is a distinguished professor of English at the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque. He's written biographies of Horatio Alger Jr., Charlotte Perkins Gilman, Bret Harte, and now Catefield, subtitled The Many Lives of a 19th Century American Journalist, published by Syracuse University Press. Thank you so much for being with us today.
I've enjoyed it.